Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and programs of podcasts, I guess, of prior shows are also available there under Public Affairs. Today is July 15th, 2020. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 26,870, the NASDAQ at 10,550, and the S&P at 3,226. Tonight, we're discussing retirement plan rules under the CARES Act. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with me or off air if you're not comfortable talking live. You can give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. We also answer questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So again, tonight we are talking about retirement plan rules under the CARES Act, which will include required minimum distributions, COVID-related distributions, and COVID-related loans. I cannot let go, though, the fact that it is July 15th today, not April 15th, but July 15th, and it's the tax due date today. So under the CARES Act, we were given a delay in filing to July 15th. So I expect that most of the listeners have filed their tax returns. And for those of you who may not have, if you have questions, you certainly could still call in and ask those questions. Again, 610-758-8810. I will make one note. I had someone ask a question about what the filing thresholds were and if their brother had to file because he had a W-2 of like $5,000, not a dependent and filing, you know, as a single person. And technically, there would be no requirement to file in that case unless there was tax withholding that they would be entitled to because they wouldn't have any income tax at that level of income. So keep that in mind. Many people might think, well, I don't have to file because I didn't make enough money, but you want to make sure that you're looking at your W-2 to see if there's any withholdings for federal. In Pennsylvania, typically your employer will withhold the requisite amount needed to cover your taxes. But if you're in another state or had worked in another state, then you may still have refunds due you. And you may not need an extension if you're having a refund, but you still would have to file within 3 years in order to get that refund. So I have seen this where people have not filed tax returns because they figure they're getting a refund anyway and they're not worried about it. Well, a time does expire for getting that refund. It's you have up till 3 years of the due date of the return, including extensions. So if you are someone who thinks you don't need to file because you normally get a refund, while it's true, You might not need an extension for time to pay, you know, time to file, but you still might want to file to get your refund. Now, if you are someone who owes and think, gosh, I don't have the money to pay it, so I'm just not going to file, well, I strongly encourage you to file for an extension, even if you don't have the money to pay, because then you'll have an extension of time to file. The IRS doesn't really give us an extension of time to pay. They expect the money due by the due date. But if you don't have it, at least you have extended the time to file, because there are penalties for not only underpayment of income tax, but also penalties for late filing. So you could at least try to minimize the penalties if you're not ready to file by doing an extension. And it's very, very easy to do an extension using a Form 4868. All right. So again, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or give your question to Lori and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. So I thought it would be a good idea to kind of revisit the retirement plan rules under the CARES Act. I have talked about this in prior shows when we were first learning about the CARES Act and some of the provisions, really when it was kind of hot off the presses. And many people at that time, this was passed in late March, and many people at that time may still not have felt the impact of what this virus has done to, you know, our jobs and economy and all of that. Well, we might want to revisit that in light of the fact that maybe some businesses might be going through continued closures or continued limited, service to customers. And if people are going to continue to be impacted in their jobs by the coronavirus and the closures that we have to, you know, protect people's health, we might want to revisit some of the streams of money that may be available to us or accounts that may be available to us. So that's why I thought it would be a good idea maybe to revisit this just in case. You know, at the end of every show, I say be proactive, not reactive. And in understanding all of the options available to you, you can be more proactive than finding yourself in a real pinch and then being forced into a situation. Real quick, what I might mean by that too is, you know, we had seen a dip in the market in March. We've seen quite the recovery from that since then. You never know when there might be another dip, so you want to make sure that you have your emergency reserves so that if something happens, you have adequate funds to continue to cover your non-discretionary expenses. So you want to periodically review your own personal situation to make sure that you're going to be prepared. And since the market has recovered, is there, you know, something that you need to address? Do you need to review your portfolio? Do you need to do some rebalancing? Do you need to consider whether or not your risk tolerance has changed? And in doing that, and in reviewing that, and reviewing whether you have enough emergency reserves, or if something were to happen to your job, do you have enough funds available to get you through a few months? And if not, do you understand what options would be available to you? So some of those options that we're going to talk about might be tapping retirement accounts. You know, generally, we might say that's the last place you want to tap. For a lot of people, that is where they do the bulk of their saving. So it might be the only place you have to tap. We will talk about that. We will talk about, again, the retirement plan rules under the CARES Act as we continue our discussion tonight. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And we'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We are live. You can give your question to Lori C. She can write it down and bring it in, and I'll answer it off air. But if you're comfortable talking live, we can put you right through to talk to me. So the phone number again is 610-758-8810. Another reminder, July 15th, taxes are due today if you have not already filed, and do an extension if you don't think you can get filed by midnight. We are talking about the retirement account rules, basically, rules around the retirement account under the CARES Act. And I thought I would start with what would be probably the easiest to cover, which is required minimum distributions. Required minimum distributions under the IRS rules, if you have retirement accounts and you reach a particular age, the IRS will require you to take a distribution. And or if you are a beneficiary of a retirement account, you also will be required to take a minimum distribution under certain rules. What the CARES Act did was they provided relief to people who had would have had to take required minimum distributions in 2020 simply because the market had, you know, seesawed and had gone down so much in March, and the values as of 12/31/2019 on which these required minimum distributions are based were quite high, such that the required minimum distributions could be very high, yet your account could have been down with the fluctuations in the market. Not to mention that even for people who maybe hadn't taken their required minimum distribution yet, but got a little nervous, as I mentioned earlier, do you need to revisit your risk tolerance? Some people might have made some changes in their portfolio, and maybe it wasn't going to be in such a great position to recover maybe from the reallocation in your portfolio. The provisions of the CARES Act said, folks, you don't have to take your required minimum distribution in 2020. But at the time they set this provision out on March 27th, there was still some uncertainty of who it applied to and how it applied. Basically, what they had said was if you had taken it in January, you were out of luck. You couldn't put it back. For those people who had already taken the required minimum distribution starting February 1st, this was on March 27th, they said you can return it. There's something called the 60-day rollover rule that you can put it right back into the IRA within 60 days. Well, that would have only given people a few days to do that. So then they extended when they could put it back. First, I think it was March 15th, and then subsequently they have changed it to recently changed it that you have until, I think it's August 31st, to be able to put the required minimum distribution back. And if it's after that, then you're back to the 60-day rollover rules. And how they did this, because they didn't want to have to change the law, what they're basically doing is calling any monies that you would put back into the plan or back into the IRA or that type of account because it doesn't actually have to go back into the exact same account. They're calling it now a repayment versus like a rollover for those amounts that you put back within no later than August 31st. So if you had taken it out and hadn't already put it back, you have until August 31st, and I'm going to confirm that. I have it in my head, and I want to make sure that it is indeed August 31st and not, the 30th or something. So the other provision they changed just recently was to also allow people who were beneficiaries of IRAs, non-spouse beneficiaries. So originally, this was going to apply to just those people who had regular required minimum distributions based on their age, not to those people who were non-spouse beneficiaries. You could have someone who's a non-spouse beneficiary, you know, at age 10, and if someone had taken out a distribution already from their IRA prior to this provision, or even, you know, weeks after, they were not allowed or were not going to be allowed under the CARES Act to put that money back. But now the IRS came out and clarified and said anyone who had taken out a required minimum distribution can pay it back within these provisions. Now, if it happens after August 31st, again, a beneficiary, a non-spouse beneficiary of an IRA would not be allowed to pay it back then because there is no rollover rule for a non-spouse beneficiary. This repayment provision is just through August 31st, and it is not, beyond that. After that, it simply will apply to people who... It would apply to people who would be allowed a 60-day rollover, okay? So I can go through some of the provisions of that as we go through this. But I wanted to remind people that just because you can pay it back doesn't mean you have to pay it back. And if you want to pay it back, you have to make a decision if you're going to pay back the whole amount or if you're going to only pay back the net amount. Let me give you an example. If I have a required minimum distribution of $10,000 and I withhold income tax of 25% of $2,500, net I have $7,500 in my bank account. The other 25% has gone to the IRS. I have to decide if I'm going to pay back the 10, which means I have to use the money from my bank plus an extra $2,500 because I'm not going to get that money back from the IRS until I file my 2020 tax return. So there's some decisions to be made there. Are you paying back the whole thing or are you going to only pay back maybe the net amount or some portion of it? You don't have to pay back the whole thing to have this rule apply, but you can pay back the whole thing. The other thing I want to clarify is if you took out $30,000 and you were in a panic and you thought, oh, when I better make sure I have some money, I'm going to take out $30,000 when my required minimum distribution is only 10. That does not apply to the additional amount. This rule of paying it back only applies to the required minimum distribution portion. I think that's very important to clarify. I don't know if I saw it as clear as that. You know, I think there could be some assumptions by people that they're going to pay back extra amounts too. That's not the case. You can only use this repayment piece on the required minimum distribution portion. Now, if you took it out and it's within 60 days, you can use the 60-day rollover if you are, you know, subject to the regular RMD rules. Now, someone who's a non-spouse beneficiary, remember I said, could not roll it back over. That is just someone, you can use the CARES Act provision to repay it by the end of August. Okay? So, folks, we are coming up on our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And of course, for those last minute tax filers, if you have questions that are just keeping you from pushing the button, you're welcome to give us a ring again at 610-758-8810. 8810. You can talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. I did confirm the date definitely is August 31st, and from an article at Horse's Mouth, the IRS overrides rules that prevented rollovers of waived 2020 RMDs. So the IRS has gotten creative with allowing retirement account owners to roll over waived 2020 RMDs that seemed ineligible to be rolled over, and those who qualify need to act by August 31st, 2020. Again, one thing we have seen with this legislation, which was signed into law on March 27th, known as the CARES Act, we've seen lots and lots of little updates to it that it makes it almost a little hard to kind of keep up with it. It makes your head spin. And for all we know, there may be continued amendments to some of these provisions as we continue to battle the impact of this in the economy and society, etc. So very important to know the required minimum distributions you can put back. The requirement is waived for this year. It is waived for regular RMD people. It is waived for people who are non-spouse beneficiaries. If you have not already taken it, you can call your custodian, tell them you don't want to take it. Stop it if it's systematic. If it's automatic, it could pay out in December. Let your custodian know you don't want to take it if you don't need it. If you are someone who already took it, you still have until August 31st to repay it and have it not count at all. And it won't count as part of a rollover either. If you miss the August 31st date, if you miss telling your custodian that you don't want to take it and it ends up getting paid out anyway, now we're subject to the regular rules that would not allow a non-spouse beneficiary to put it back. But for someone who is taking a distribution from a retirement account, there is still the 60-day rollover rule for you, and it's only one time a year. And again, this only applies to the required minimum distribution portion of that, not if you took out extra monies from the IRA. Now, for people who don't need it, you know, you can decide what is your tax return going to look like without that required minimum distribution. For some people, it could make a huge difference in your tax planning. So you want to make sure that you, you know, contact your advisor or your CPA to talk about, not today, God forbid, it's July 15th, but tax due date. But at some point, kind of go through what the planning will look like for you during the year. It could help you on Medicare premiums if you fall below certain income thresholds. It might lower your income such that not all of your Social Security would be taxed. It might lower your income enough that maybe you'll get the benefit of a 0% tax rate on your qualified dividends or long-term capital gains. It could have a very interesting impact on your tax return if you do choose to waive it or thinking about waiving it and putting it back. Again, you have to August 31st to do that. Plenty of time to do some planning and look at it. And if you change your mind, you can still take it out later in the year. So that is for people who really probably don't need it. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about the retirement plan rules tonight and the CARES Act, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is we may be in a position where people might need funds available again. If you think you might be one of those people and you already did take your required minimum distribution and you already had the tax withheld, or maybe, you know, you're still in a low tax bracket and you need that money, no harm, no foul then. So there's nothing that says you have to put it back. It's just an option, and it could be a good option for a lot of people who don't need it. Let me just see if I want to say anything about required minimum distributions. Oh, just let me piggyback on something again I've talked about on prior shows, is the required minimum distribution rules did change under the SECURE Act, which was December of 2019. Traditionally, the required minimum distribution age was 70 and a half, and you would have had to have taken out your first required minimum distribution in the year you turn age 70 and a half and no later than April 1st of the year following. And if you waited till the year following, then you would have had two required minimum distributions in that year. For example, someone who waited until April 1st of the year following age 70 and a half and planned to take two in 2020, with this waiver of required minimum distributions, you're actually getting out of both of them, I believe. So that is pretty powerful. If you were not 70 and a half by 1/1 of 2020, then your required minimum distribution is age 72. Age 72 is the new required minimum distribution under normal retirement provisions. And you also have the option of taking out your distribution, your first required minimum distribution in the year you turn 72, but no later than April 1st of the year following the year you turn 72. There again, if you wait, then you would have two required minimum distributions in the year you turn 72. Lots of careful planning in those situations. You want to be careful. There could be a time where someone might want to do that. For example, if you're an executive and you're working and you're still working at age 71 and you're making, you know, $500,000, then you might want to wait to take your required minimum distribution into the next year when you're 72 or the next year to kind of double it up if you think you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. If you're not making $500,000 when you retire, there would be reasons where someone might want to wait. Generally, people don't want to put too much income or more than they have to in any one year if it bumps their income up, bumps their tax brackets up and such. So lots of planning. I think it's people don't understand the impact that good tax planning can have on your cash flow and on your retirement planning. Please be proactive when you're thinking about these things and consider all of your options and make sure you know where to tap money or put back money if you don't need it. Folks, tonight we are talking about retirement plan rules under the CARES Act. We've talked about required minimum distributions a bit. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what if you're not in required minimum distribution mode, you're not age 70 and a half, you're not age 72, you might need to tap those retirement accounts for some funds that you need. How do you do it, and what options might you have? And if you would suffer a penalty for taking money out, are there some options for you? And yes, there are under the CARES Act, so we want to cover what those are when we come back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8255. 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, give your question to Lori C., and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening, Lehigh Valley, WDLY News, Weather, and Traffic. I'm Shondi Gray. It is 6:30 and 85 with clear skies. Tonight is going to be mostly cloudy, low 66. Thursday, partly sunny, high 85. Thursday night is going to be low around 68. Friday, we're going to have a chance of more showers and thunderstorms, high 86. And Friday night, low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny, high 91. Saturday night, low around 71. Now, back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi. Welcome back to the show, folks. We are talking about retirement plan rules under the CARES Act this evening. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. Just give your question to Lori C. and she'll bring it in. So we talked about required minimum distributions. Now let's talk about what if you are not that age? What are your options? Again, I've talked about some of this on prior shows, kind of highlighting some of these topics over the past several weeks to keep our listeners informed as to what are some of the options available for them. Tonight, I decided to focus strictly on some of the retirement rules around retirement accounts under the CARES Act. Let me backtrack then. Without the CARES Act, if you are over age 59 and a half, you already can tap your individual retirement account without a penalty. That's one of the exceptions to the early withdrawal from an IRA is age 59 and a half. Just because you're age 59 and a half does not mean that you can tap your employer retirement accounts, though. So I mentioned IRAs, you can tap at age 59 and a half without penalty, and withdrawals from employer retirement plans at age 59 and a half would also be without penalty, except that most employers don't have that as one of the rules that you can take it out at 59 and a half. A lot of retirement plans will say that you can you can't take out a distribution from your employer plan unless you're age 65. They call it an in-service distribution, or it might be a loan or something like that. So don't assume you can take money out of your employer plan just because I said you don't have a penalty at age 59 and a half. If you terminated employment in a year where you reached age 55 by December 31st, you can tap an employer plan without penalty as well. So that's one of those other little exceptions to no 10% penalty on early withdrawal if you were 55 from an employer plan, not from an IRA. That doesn't work from an employer plan. So you want to make sure there may be rules that exist for you whereby you can tap retirement monies without using the provisions of the CARES Act. And this is where the CARES Act comes in. So what if you're not 55 under those early termination rules or age 59 and a half early retirement age? Traditionally, if you took money out of a retirement plan early, you'd not only be subject to the income tax, you would also be subject to the 10% early withdrawal penalty unless one of those exceptions applied. And exceptions for distributions from the IRA differ from an employer plan. You need to know the difference. Exceptions for both, though, include death, substantially equal periodic distributions, we call those 72T distributions, or distributions pursuant to a divorce, which apply differently for IRAs than employer plans. If you're someone who had a quadro for an employer plan and you are a beneficiary and you're under age 59 and a half, there's an exception to to the early withdrawal penalty under a quadro. So that is if a spouse, that's the only money they maybe got out of the divorce and they need money, that would be an exception to the 10% penalty if you have to withdraw it from an employer plan. That's why quite often when I'm working with clients on divorce, I will say, let's not roll over that employer plan to an IRA because you may not have the protection of that early withdrawal exception under the quadro. Then there's some other exceptions, so you'd want to make sure if any of those other ones apply to you. So with the impact of the business closures, lost wages, CARES Act does offer some reprieve from the penalty and potentially income taxes with provisions for distributions and loans. And let's not get too excited when we talk about reprieve from potentially income taxes. That's if you pay it back. So I'm going to talk more in more detail about that. We did have a question come in from Mary in Bethlehem, and she said, can you put back any of the 2019 required minimum distribution? Mary, that's a great question, but no, this doesn't cover the 2019 required minimum distribution. It only covers the 2020 required minimum distribution. If you didn't already take it, you could, you know, waive it, tell the custodian not to take it. Some people don't realize that some of the custodians of your IRAs will set up a systematic withdrawal. You might have set it up 5 years ago and you don't even realize. You just say, oh, it comes in December. You don't realize it might be set up to automatically come out of your account. So if you don't call and tell your advisor or the custodian to suspend it for the year, it might automatically go out. You really, really want to understand what triggers that distribution from that IRA account or, you know, your employer retirement plan, maybe from someone you left, an employer you left. What is the trigger for them to make that distribution? Is it set up automatically or do they always wait for you to call and request the distribution? If it is set up automatically, you always seem to get it, you know, every December, every November, or every October, or whatever it might be, you want to call and let them know if you don't need it to stop it. So good question, Mary. Can you put back any of the 2019 RMD? No, you can't. This is strictly relating to the 2020 required minimum distribution. It is based, though, on the 12/31/19 value for the required minimum distribution, typically. Just a little footnote. When I'm talking on the show, you know, we have said this is general education. There are always little nuances to a lot of the rules that we talk about, and I just want to make sure that people understand. I can't cover everything in a topic. This is certainly awareness that I want to draw your attention to. So, for example, a required minimum distribution might be one that's done over 5 years. So that's a little bit different than what we normally think of. We have a caller on line one. We have Carolyn.
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm unemployed.
Not good to hear, Carolyn. Not
no.
good to hear. So the show. The show is timely then, talking about that we might be seeing more of this. But you know, you can apply for unemployment.
And, I did that.
And through July, there's an extra $600 a week payment. And we might have one or two more weeks left, 1 week left, July 25th. So maybe we'll see more legislation coming out to extend it or at least reinstate it. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for you on that. And
thank you.
Good luck. So how can we help you?
I'm wondering about the 401k that I had with my previous employer. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do is just leave it in there.
Okay.
I was supposed to get a packet of information in the mail, but I haven't gotten it yet. So I'm just a little... You know, I would like to hear what you have to say about what my options are. Would I be able to leave it in it? Do I have to roll it into more of an IRA than a 401k?
It probably depends, Carolyn. So a 401k, quite often we do see people when they leave employment keep their prior plan with their prior employer. It could be for reasons such as they like the investment options there. It could be that they just are too lazy to move it. It could be that there's the costs are low to have the plan there. It could be for, remember I said earlier about the exception to the 10% penalty if someone went through a divorce and they had a quadro, they might want to keep it with a former employer. It could be that they have employer stock in a former plan that they don't want to roll that over. There's special tax provisions to employer stock in an employer plan. For example, I will just tell you, my husband has left Air Products probably 5 or 6 years ago, and we still have the 401k at Air Products because there's certain tax advantages that we want to hang on to by keeping that plan there. So if they have told you that they're going to send you a package, one thing that could happen with a former employer is they may discontinue the plan. But if they continue the plan keep that plan going, there usually isn't a reason for you to have to move it. Occasionally, they don't want the administrative burden. That's typically if the account is of a very small value. So if it was like $5,000 or less, certain plans will provide, or $1,000 or less or something, will provide that they're just going to send you a check or close it or ask you to close it. So I think you should be able to keep it there as long as the plan continues from your former employer. You do not have to roll it over generally.
Okay. I mean, it's a hospital system that still has many hospitals, even though they sold mine. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're going to keep it for all the people who are still in their system.
Okay, then I don't see why you would have to roll it over. So, but I don't know why they're sending you a package then about it.
I think it was just to tell me what my
options are.
Were.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So typically they'll let you keep it there. And as long as you can still have access to it. So occasionally what happens, people will be able to access their accounts when they're at work and they go into their 401k and they check it and it's on maybe an employer website. You just want to make sure that you still have a similar access to it, which I would expect they might, you know, you just might go in a different way to it to review it.
Okay.
So, yes, right. You should be able to keep it there.
That would be great. Thank
okay?
you so much.
All right.
Much.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Good luck, Carolyn.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was a good question, and we are probably going to see more of those types of questions as we go through the next several months. You know, I don't go out very much. Like, I come to the radio show and that's about it. But we did run to the post office last night to put some extensions in the mail, not for myself, but to put some tax extensions in the mail. And driving down the road, I saw a local restaurant that had been there for years and years and years. The building is for sale. And then it makes me wonder, is the restaurant going out of the business or did the restaurant just move? So we are probably going to see some of those images over the next several months. Again, very important to do planning for yourself, being proactive and making sure that you understand your own situation if you're in a good place, or do you need to make sure you know what your options will be if you get in a pickle and need to tap monies? What are your options? So in talking about IRAs, if you are 59 and a half, I said no 10% penalty. If you have an employer plan, the plan provisions may not let you take money out, but the CARES Act does give us some opportunities to get money out if it was a COVID-related distribution. So I printed off some things from the IRS because I want to make sure I read this correctly. What are the special rules for retirement plans and IRAs in Section 2202 of the CARES Act. And in general, the CARES Act provides for expanded distribution options and favorable tax treatment for up to $100,000 of coronavirus-related distributions from eligible retirement plans. And in parentheses, they have certain employer retirement plans, such as 401k and 403b plans and IRAs, to qualified individuals, as well as special rollover rules with respect to such distributions. It also increases the limit on the amount a qualified individual may borrow from an eligible retirement plan, not including an IRA, because we don't borrow from IRAs. This is why you have to be very careful in reading the Act. It also permits a plan sponsor to provide qualified individuals up to an additional year to repay their loans. So when someone is deciding where they might get money, you want to think, what are my options? What accounts are available to me? What kind of accounts are they? Is it an employer plan? Is it an IRA? Which rules apply? Is it a distribution or is it a loan? We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail as we go into the last part of the show. If you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org. Or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking about retirement plan rules around the CARES Act. And special rules for retirement plans and IRAs, allowing favorable tax treatment for up to $100,000 of distributions and or loans, but you have to be a qualified individual. So let's talk about that for a minute. And again, I'm going to refer to the IRS.gov website page that covered this because they kind of spell it out pretty clearly, and I don't want to deviate from kind of the logic that they have here. So one of the questions was, am I a qualified individual for purposes of the Section 2202 of the CARES Act? You're a qualified individual if you're diagnosed with the virus SARS-CoV-2 or with coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, by a test approved by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Your spouse or dependent is diagnosed. You experience, here's where we start talking about some more broad language. You experience adverse financial consequences as a result of being quarantined, being furloughed or laid off, or having work hours reduced because of the virus. That's pretty broad language. So, result of being quarantined, being furloughed, laid off, or working reduced hours. A lot of people have had that. Here's another one, kind of broad. You experience adverse financial consequences as a result of being unable to work due to lack of childcare due to the virus. A lot of people are experiencing that. You experience adverse financial consequences as a result of closing or reducing hours of a business that you own or operate due to the virus. Under Section 2202 of the CARES Act, the Treasury Department and IRS may issue guidance that expands the list of factors. So, again, we've seen this evolve over time, and they've kind of, patched some things up as we've progressed. So we could always, come back to more provisions that have changed. Question four, what is a coronavirus-related distribution? It's a distribution that is made from an eligible retirement plan to a qualified individual from January 1st, 2020 to December 30th, 2020. And again, it's up to an aggregate limit of $100,000 from all plans and IRAs. So you can't do $100,000 from an IRA and $100,000 from a retirement plan. It's $100,000 aggregate across whatever number of plans. But keep in mind this date, to December 30th, 2020. December 30th of 2020. Do I have to pay the 10% additional tax on a coronavirus-related distribution from my retirement plan or IRA? No. The 10% additional tax on early distributions does not apply to any coronavirus-related distribution. Recall I mentioned, if you're already 59 and a half, there is no 10% penalty, and you can take however much you want out of your IRA and pay income taxes on it without a 10% penalty. But if you have a coronavirus-related reason, and it could be deemed to be a coronavirus-related distribution, there still could be some additional options for you. All right? When do I have to pay taxes on coronavirus-related distributions? The distributions generally are included in income ratably over a three-year period, starting with the year in which you receive your distribution. Now, recall, it would have to be 2020, according to these rules, because they say it's a coronavirus-related distribution that's made from an eligible retirement plan to a qualified individual from January 1, 2020 to December 30th, 2020. So when they talk about, I think they're giving us kind of general language in case they need to pull this out of their hat in future years, because obviously if it's only qualifying for this time period, then ratably, beginning with the year of distribution, would have to be 2020, and over 3 years would be 2020, 2021, 2022. But you can opt to pay the tax on the distribution all in 1 year, which would be all in 2020. That might make sense or work for you if you were not working and have no other income. That might be the year you do want to claim that income, because you could be in a lower tax bracket if you're not otherwise working. So you do have the option of including the entire distribution in your income for the year of the distribution. Here's the other little kick. Again, if this is a coronavirus-related distribution, because you might be someone who thinks this will apply and you don't really have a coronavirus-related distribution. Maybe you're working from home. Nothing's changed in your life. You just thought, oh gosh, I'll take advantage of this. Well, no, you have to have a coronavirus-related distribution. Reason. Do you have to be a qualified individual? And some of those criteria have to apply, as I just recently read. And again, this is on the IRS's website, irs.gov. May I repay it? A coronavirus-related distribution. Yes. So you don't have to. You can pay the tax over 3 years. You could pay the tax all in the first year, but you can pay it back. That is the difference between just taking a regular distribution out of your retirement account versus taking out a coronavirus-related distribution. You can actually pay it back. You might just have needed to do it temporarily until you got back working again. So in general, yes, you may repay all or part of the amount of a coronavirus-related distribution to an eligible retirement plan, provided that you complete the repayment within 3 years after the date that the distribution was received. If you repay a coronavirus-related distribution, the distribution will be treated as though it were repaid in a direct trustee-to-trustee transfer, so that you do not owe federal income tax on that distribution. What they're saying here is, let's say in 2020 you decide to take it out, you're going to pay tax on it over 3 years, you lost your job, you needed the money, and boom, you know, December of 2020, you got another job, you're very excited, it's working out, you're working January of 2021, February, March, everything's good, they found a vaccine, you're in a new career or, you know, doing great, and you can pay it back. You pay it all back in 2021, then you could amend your 2020 tax return, remove the amount that you took out, and as if you didn't take it, get your refund of the taxes you paid, And then in 2021, you wouldn't have to report any of that income because you paid it all back in 2021. That gives everybody a little bit more flexibility. And if you don't have the money to pay it back, you know, you just have already incurred the taxes and you're good to go. Let me see if I can quickly talk about loans. What plan loan relief is provided under the CARES Act? They permit an additional year for repayment of loans from eligible retirement plans. And again, this does not include IRAs. And they relax the limits on the loans. So typically, you could take a loan if your employer provided in the plan document the ability for you to take a loan out. Typically, it was up to $50,000 of your but no more than your vested amount. And you'd have to start paying it back right away through payroll deduction. The CARES Act expanded that to be up to $100,000. And 100% of the vested balance. It used to be only 50% of the vested balance, if I'm missaying that. Up to $50,000 and 50% of the vested balance. The CARES Act says $100,000 up to 100% of the vested balance that you can borrow and take out as a loan. But it also provides the repayment to be a little bit longer. So a loan is outstanding. Certain loan payments repayments may be delayed for 1 year. If a loan is outstanding on or after March 27, 2020, and any repayment on the loan is due from March 27, 2020 to December 31st, 2020, that due date may be delayed under the plan for up to 1 year. Any payments after the suspension period will be adjusted to reflect the delay and any interest accruing during the delay. And the loan limit may be increased. The CARES Act also permits employers to increase the maximum loan amount available to qualified individuals. Again, because remember I had mentioned there were these rules before that the employer might have had in the plan document, limiting it to $50,000 or 50% of the vested benefit. And the CARES Act allowed employers to kind of be a little bit flexible on that prior to them being able to change it officially. Is it an option for employers to adopt the distribution and loan rules? It is optional, so employers do not have to adopt the distribution and loan rules. I had someone tell me that they went to their employer, they wanted to take a loan out, and the employer said they do not have to give it, and that is true. The employer would have to adopt it, and it is optional. They do not have to. So lots of information. Let me see. I'm just trying to quickly capture what I think might be important because I'm kind of running tight on time here. May an administrator rely on the individual's certification that the individual is eligible to receive a coronavirus-related distribution? And yes, the administrator may rely on the individual kind of doing like a self-certification that, yes, this is a coronavirus-related distribution. And you want to let your custodian know that, or your employer, if it's from an employer plan for a loan. If it's taking money out of an IRA, then you would let your custodian know it's a coronavirus-related distribution, and thus the 10% does not apply. Is an eligible retirement plan required to accept any repayment of a participant's coronavirus-related distribution? In general, it is anticipated that eligible retirement plans will accept repayments of coronavirus-related distributions, which are to be treated as rollover contributions. And there was guidance where they did talk about that if one plan doesn't take it, you could put it back into another plan. So I think they're giving a lot of flexibility on that. How do you report the distribution? Well, you're going to get a 1099-R reflecting that distribution, and you would report it on your income tax return for 2020. All right, folks, so that kind of wraps up my overview of the eligibility or the retirement rules under the CARES Act. Just some really fast takeaways for tax season before I close out the show. One, during the year 2020, start getting ready for your 2020 tax preparation. You know, have a folder, have a box, have a file cabinet or a drawer or something where you start gathering those tax documents for 2020. Sometimes you might have, a settlement sheet that comes in. You might have a mortgage statement on a mortgage that you closed out and you're going to forget about it next tax season. So keep that last slip to make sure you capture mortgage interest if you're someone who itemizes. A lot of people don't itemize anymore because the standard deduction is so high, but you never know how your circumstances might change during the year, so there's no reason not to kind of keep track. Want to mention that there is a $300 charitable contribution for 2020 that's going to be above the line. If you're making charitable contributions during the year right now, especially in this time of crisis, you might be supporting some of your favorite nonprofits. Keep those receipts because even if you don't itemize, we are going to be able to take a $300 deduction off the top line for 2020. Little tidbits for your 2020 tax return. Also, make sure you're tracking any of those qualified charitable distributions you're doing from your IRAs. If you are in required minimum distribution age, even if the RMD is not required this year, you still can do qualified charitable distributions from your retirement accounts to your favorite nonprofits. Make sure you track those because those aren't reported on your 1099-R. You need to let your tax preparer know about them so you don't miss the wonderful tax benefits of doing that. And remember, you can file your tax return early. You just have to make sure you pay by the due date. Next week is a review of topics covered over the years on your financial choices. And I want to thank our listeners for calling in tonight. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Shandi. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.